settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Milk, Mick Avery. Hi. Milk.
That's a really good
song. And I'm Milk.
Mick and I are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you facts and truths as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be discussing cause and effect. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it is 888-810-8322. I'll repeat that again a little later on. Okay.
Great.
There we are, Mick.
Yes, thank you. I'll try and speak my part. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or have an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s. In England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We purposefully don't spend a long time on small talk or chit-chat on our shows because we try to utilize the short amount of time we do have, and Spirit always seemed to have a lot to say. So I'll pass you over to Sylvie, as their energy is drawing so close now, I'm almost unable to speak. So you do have a great show.
Yes, that's the trouble. We did a show this morning, actually, Spirit was so close to Mick before he went into trance, he really couldn't speak very well at all, could you, dear?
No, and I had to hand over to you completely. I just couldn't say another word.
So I'll explain a little more about
that. A little bit what it's like.
Okay, so Mick's going to go into trance now. It shouldn't take long. Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. This is who's going to be speaking to you today. And they are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people, like you or I, who's got, something valuable, an input to make from the life that they led and that sort of thing. They're an educational team, and they've come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. Hopefully to understand the nature of our existence a little better and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. So basically, this is not just Mick passing the information from a non-physical entity and relaying it to you. It is actually completely lights out for Mick, if you like, and it's welcome spirit guide Gregory Hay. And as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. And once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, the number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, and Canada, 888-810-8322. today we're going to be talking about cause and effect, and I do believe that Gregory is with us now.
Well, hello, my dear friend.
Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, as always, of course.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Yes, it fits rather well, doesn't it?
So, this is a huge subject, isn't it?
It is.
People appear to excel at confusing what is cause and effect in their lives.
Everything to do with physical life, with any life experience, is cause and effect. That decision that you make, that judgment that you make, or that other people make upon your behalf. All of life's experience is to do with cause and effect.
Okay. Was that the same before we came, when we were in the spirit world? Was it the same in the spirit world? Was it cause and effect in the spirit world? Is
oh, absolutely. Yes, of course. It is one of the prime universal laws, friend.
And yet it wasn't something that we remembered. You would think that we might at least remember that.
Well, I suppose, my friend, for some people, it is a memory. But for others, they just lose it. Partly, it may be because of the trauma of actually having a physical life. Do not forget that so many people actually lose so much of their higher conscious activity, particularly in early years of life.
Yes, but you would think we seem to keep making the same mistakes, though, don't we?
Yes, it doesn't have a lot to say for those beings, I suppose, who are so reverently immersed in reincarnation and that kind of attitude. Because clearly, through cause and effect, and through the whole karmic voyage, there doesn't appear to be a great deal of respect gained for having had a physical life if one has to keep repeating and regurgitating the same situations, the same ghastly activities. In fact, even if you could say that by observing the whole history of humanity, you could observe that cause and effect appears to be an onward battle, something that human beings continually seem to be at odds over, simply because once one life is snuffed out, other lives take over, and like a pile of ants, really, and do not actually seem to engage with the life that has been led. And so it appears the same mistakes are repeated again and again. History's lessons of past events are not brought into sharp contrast and focus.
So we don't come into the physical life fully equipped to understand the law of cause and effect, do we? So it's unavoidable that we must come to this understanding the hard way, really. But
well,
I guess that how hard it is different for everybody else, so how much notice you take of what you're doing.
Yes, and that, of course, will depend upon the certain amount of responsibility that you have for that life that you lead and for the decisions that you make. The whole point of the situation of cause and effect is to evaluate each other and each single identity of the notion that you have to do something. In other words, if you make a decision about something you want to do that day, really, honestly, think about what it is, how it is going to affect you in your life, and how it may affect other people. So many people we can see appear to disregard the effects they make upon one another's lives, and therefore engage with fear, that primal target of obstruction and destruction of consciousness and the higher values of spirit.
If we truly understood the law of cause and effect, wouldn't we be better able to make the right decisions for the right reasons?
I completely agree with you, friend, yes.
What role does motive play in cause and effect?
Well, motive, surely, is the prime movement of cause. cause and effect, because if you understand the motive with which you drive yourself, if it is that your motive is honorable and of good intent, then surely the cause and effect will be obvious for it. And yet it appears to be that is not the case for some people, because they may be as pure as the driven snow. And yet, through cause and effect of other people's decisions and desires in their life, they actually move upon them and destroy them. Innocent babes, for example. Small children who have brought about nothing but charm and beauty and purity in their life can be snuffed out at the whim of any beast who decides it is their right to take that life. I know that is a bit extreme, but humanity lives in a state of fear. And unfortunately, these are fears which are more readily accepted, perhaps because they appear to come from human beings rather than them coming from the natural world. So you appear to be having more fear now of human reaction, so suffering from cause and effect, than you had, say, perhaps 50 or 60 years ago. The situation or the subject would have come from a different perspective. Perhaps then the situation of perspective would have been perhaps to do with war or something like that, or perhaps to do with some other form of suffering. Certainly it would not be to do with global warming or the instability of the planet. But now that is a very real garland that you have to wear. That is a cause and effect. All things, all activity that you create in your life and that have been created for you by others are there to bring about an understanding, not to say I told you so, but to bring you an understanding, to show you a pathway whereby you may actually progress. It is up to you whether you decide through your free will to take that pathway. And if you do not wish to, that is a matter of your decision and your choice.
Yes, I mean, the thing is, it's not easily recognizable, is it? I wouldn't like to guess at the ratio of people that still would not even think about cause and effect being in anything to do with anything to do with this life. Let's say in a personal way, for instance.
Yes.
So is this lack of understanding what causes many to make the same mistakes over and over? I mean, if it seems to be only the people that actually have stumbled across the fact that we do live by cause and effect. And I don't mean globally in that way,
yes,
the issues that we're talking, but even in day-to-day life, the things that people do every day that make them stay in the same rut or whatever.
Yes, absolutely so. That is the point, I suppose, that you so clearly make, that people within a cycle of evidence in their life, perhaps it is just, as you say, a repetitive thing. Perhaps they always go about their daily life in a certain way with the same thoughts. And by having the same thoughts, by waking up in the same way, the same condition of life, in accepting less, then the cause that they bring onto their life is a repeat of what they did the day before, because they haven't stepped with their intention and their energy outside of the reality that they created yesterday, in which case the reality is merely repeated. And this cycle is continued so long as they dwell in the same energy. The point, I suppose, that we try to bring about in easing this suffering of human beings is to say, well, there is a way that you can change the energy cycle that you are immersed in. There is actually a way that you may be able to step beyond that present energy crisis and move into a completely different scenario whereby it is not something which is, how can we say, that is particularly fictitious, but is very real, that it isn't a mind game, but it is something that you can use your mind to step beyond your present thoughts and thinking, therefore revealing a different feeling within your own being. And that is quite simply by stepping beyond the specific energy feeling that you have, and perhaps changing the cycle of things that you do, so changing the behavior, means that you actually step outside of the energy you have created. If you then, perhaps instead of going down to the corner shop and getting your morning paper and grumbling at the shopkeeper who serves you the paper, if instead of doing that you do something else and actually observe your walk that you make, perhaps, I understand that people live in ugly places, dressed by wires and contraptions and noise, ugly places where crazed music or such sensations obliterate the beauty of your world. But even in these small things, even in these small spaces, you may actually understand something of value, something that the Creator has given to you, something that just draws your attention away from your cycle of depletion and negativity. This is bringing about a different cause to your mind, understanding that the causal value that you see, the thing that you see, the image in front of you, is something of beauty stepping outside of your ordinary reality, giving you a gift, giving you a presence of joy, something that brings a smile to your face and changes your energy.
Well, I think that, yes, I mean, I think we all know people that do the same thing day after day and yet complain about their life, nothing ever happening to them, and they can't seem to do to further their life in any way, and yet they won't do anything different.
Yes, and then wonder why it doesn't change.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess my point is, some people tend to think that spirit will, will deliver whatever it is at the right time.
Do it all for them.
Yes, make sure that they're in the right place at the right time, and yet they won't actually do that. Is that something that is fact or
no, it's fictitious.
Right.
It isn't to say that people do not connect with synchronicity, and there are laws of synchronicity which come into effect, which allow different pathways to cross at certain conjunctions. Mm-hmm. And this is because of the energy release and the situation which moves along at a certain rate. It may well be that, however, for a person to find themselves in the right place, that they have to think beyond the energy they presently have or emit. So it means that if you think in a certain way, you perhaps need to change some perceptions of your mental understanding. And so by changing these, you quicken your pace or your vibration. You perhaps then find yourself on a different cycle. This means that you are accelerated enough to make the commitment to bring about the relationship or the meeting of someone else in your life. How else do you think you are ever going to step beyond the wheel of karmic voyage you have already burdened yourself with if you do not actually change your thought pattern and the way you behave? By doing that, you are altering your state of energy. You are making it, not forcing it, but you are putting energy in. Positive energy in will create a different effect because you are bringing about a different cause.
So with cause and effect, in a positive way, you are going to bring about synchronicity.
Yes.
For a start.
Yes.
Align yourself with the synchronicity pathway ahead of you.
Yes. I know, of course, at the same time, that other people may say, well, ah, yes, but surely there are syncretic values at work with beings who then become entrapped in certain lower values of their life, and that there too will be cycles of lower value. So perhaps someone who robs and steals then meets someone who also robs and steals, and together they do even worse atrocities. The cycle is just the same. It depends entirely upon what form of energy, what bead, what string of energy you pick. And the string of energy is most important here because, of course, it is a part of the universal structure of all things. And so if you are engaged in a particular string of energy which is of only a limited value or a limited vibration, it will not last you well. It will not particularly help you, motivate you into a different thread, into a different form of illumination. Therefore, your illumination will be poor. You will think lower about yourself because your activity will be that. It will be observed by others as being that you have fallen from grace, perhaps, or that you have let yourself down in front of your peers just by your behavior. You see, it is so important for people, however, to see and understand that through the causes that are created through decision and judgment, these are what are going to bring you into the comparative ease of the spirit world. Because when you go to the spirit world and you have created mayhem in your life, your cause and effect will continue. It won't be abated. It will not suddenly slide away because you have become pure spirit. On the contrary, you will continue to have to take responsibility for the causes and effects you created in physical life.
Yes, and the physical life effects will still be going on, even when you're past.
Yes. Now, I have to say now that the next part to interact with is, well, what about the cause and effect of my spirit, or you as a spirit being, before you had a physical life?
Mm-hmm.
What then if, as a spirit being, you were not a beautiful being?
Mm-hmm.
That you were less than honorable? And that for some intent you had to make reparation in this next physical life because of something that you did in a previous one?
Previous one, as in...
Well, whatever that life was. So, whether it was for some beings who state that this previous life would have had to have been a physical incarnation, because that is the only precept of life, the only possibility for some people of physical life, or for any form of life at all, is to have a physical life and not for there to be any life in the spirit world at all. For many people who are understanding of reincarnation, they believe that life in the spirit world can only exist for a very short space of time before you have to come back into a physical body again and reincarnate to accelerate the vibration. The point I'm trying to make here is that if that were the case, humanity would never really, well, to all intents and purposes, if you do not understand or believe or think in rational terms of the condition of your life previous to your present physical life, it may well mean that certain elements of that life are forever lost. So what God is the cause and effect or the energy release of whatever karma it is that you have evoked? My point really is that for spirit beings having a human physical existence, for the most part, have to be in a pure state of bliss in order to take on that responsibility. And so you are not going to have spirit beings who embark upon a physical journey who then have, for some reason, perhaps taken some negative effect from some previous journey with them, as opposed to, I suppose some people would say, ah, well, that is your karma coming through. Unfortunately, for some human beings who are disabled in some way, have limbs missing or something like that, and then cite that to be some karmic attribute from a previous physical life. I find that rather damning for the person who is in that physical life, something that they cannot retract from, meaning that they cannot actually evolve through their physical life because they are carrying it around with them like a large block of concrete or something.
Well, I think probably that's one of the most damaging things that I can think of about the reincarnation theory, is that the cause and effect seems to be spread out over such a long time that things get put on the back burner, don't they?
Yes,
as far as the
planet
goes, as we talk about, we haven't got time for that. It's all very well putting your own karma, or whatever you like to call it, on hold, spread out over eons, but the planet hasn't got time for that.
No. Only 18 years.
Yes, quite.
In fact.
Yes.
The other point, of course, to make is that in relation to the reincarnation theory is that if a person has had 6,000 lives and they still haven't learnt anything yet, well, it is rather a poor situation for spirit to be involved in. Is it not?
Yes.
However, what we have to point out here is that the whole cause and effect of the physical life isn't something that you cannot retract from, isn't something that you are stuck in. And every human being must understand this. You can reach God now. You can be that beautiful being. You see other beings in a state of bliss. You see other beings in a state of near nirvana. And this seems to be something always denied you from your walk of life, and yet you see it in their eyes, in their whole intent and personality. Beautiful beings, shining skin, their aura shining through. And all of this is possible, my friends, for each and every one of you, just by altering and changing the causes that you make in your physical life. By stepping beyond that boundary that you make for yourself, the prison that you make yourself, force yourself to be in. It is all a matter of changing and altering your attitude toward other beings around you, toward everyone around you, not just human beings. Animals feel that karma, that cause that you bring to yourself, your own life. And perhaps your attitude alters their attitude if you are negative or extreme in that way. Perhaps that is why people who are angry and violent have angry and violent animals. Because they cannot help themselves. For that is the treatment that they bring to them, to their lives. And that is the way the animal reacts to that treatment. If you took that animal away completely from that environment, would it actually change? Well, it may. It could be, of course, that the animal was too ingrained with that form of behavior and actually knows no difference. And so, of course, it is fighting in its own corner, trying to survive. So if you are a human being who is just trying to survive, how can we change your cause and effect for it to alter your history, to alter your value of life? For if you have little value of life, how can we build it into something more beautifying? How can we bring value to that life which sees so little to compensate? The activity is clear. We can see human beings distressed in their own lives. We can see human beings who try to mend their ways and yet fail at every turn. And they fail because of lack of support, because no one says with a hand on their back, "I understand and I can see you. And here is a way that you may try. Here is something that you can step outside of your life with and alter it and change it and renew it." Yes, a human being may have done a great many bad things in their physical life, but there is still a time when that human being may reach the state of bliss. Even in the last breaths of life, there is a chance for that human being to bring realization to the foreground of their life. I'm not saying that everyone can just leave it to the last moment and behave with pure ignorance all the way up until that time. The moment is now. The time is now that you have to begin, that you have to change and alter your ways. For causes you create now will bring you into different cycles of renewal and understanding and vibration of energy and harmony, will create a different pathway for you in your spirit life to come.
You're listening to Spirit's Work and Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about cause and effect. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free from the US, 877-876-5227, and from Canada, 888-810-8322. So the change can be quite fast. I'm just thinking about different vibrations that we come across. Like, say, for instance, if we were meditating in a group or something like that, or in a place that did meditation circles.
Yes.
And the feeling that you get after being with a group of people, or in a retreat situation or something, where you're all meditating and doing the same thing,
yes.
It can be quite an immediate effect, can't it?
Yes, of course, it can be an immediate effect as soon as you walk in the room.
And I'm just trying to get my head around how quickly the turnaround for cause and effect could take place and ripple out.
Yes, I understand. The point is, all beings can experience it just by walking into a different space. Walking into a place, perhaps that is a shopping Yes, thank you, yes. Mal, yes. Strange word. Yes, just a shopping place, and that has a beautiful feeling to it, that has perhaps been designed with great architectural interest or something that brings a pleasing feeling to that space. That is something that people then respond to, they feel happy in. They are invited there. You see? It doesn't have to be just that you go into a place that is of a special significance or beauty for the meditation process. It may be perhaps that you perhaps even just sit in the at the bottom of your garden under a tree, or even just look at a plant in your house. That too can bring the same effect. It is just dependent upon your perspective, how you look at it, how you look at the plant in your living room or in your bathroom. How does it have an effect upon you? Is it a beautiful plant, well cared for, or is it something that is almost dead on its leaves?
Dead on its leaves.
Or dead on its roots, should it be?
I mean, I'm trying to think of things. Okay, we talk about going within. We talk about meditation being a way of raising our vibration.
Yes. But actually, my friend, it starts way beyond there. The point is, it starts with your attitude, with your way of thinking, with the way in which you just do things, with your behavior in your life.
Yes, I know. And what I'm trying to get at, really, is the fact that how different we would think we would be generally as people if our workplace was an environment that we felt these wonderful uplifting emotions from when we were there, with a little care. Do you understand what I mean?
Just, I do.
I don't mean just something that we create at home. I mean the everyday things that we do as people, even our cars, inside of our cars, anything.
Yes, absolutely so. The environment in which you are in, the space that you are in now, is something which reflects your feeling and your care.
Mm.
And therefore, if it is an environment which is aggravated, perhaps there are a lot of things in it, or perhaps it isn't very well cared for, or something like that, showing with dead plants and that kind of thing, it isn't very hospitable to you. It doesn't evoke a great deal of energy because you feel that there are all of these wasted places. It brings a difficulty to your mind to be in that space, so that is something which creates negativity. If you are at work, perhaps you are in an office space or something like that, you can quite easily change it, alter it, do something about it. If you find the workspace oppressive, do something to change it. That will then change your attitude toward whatever it is you do. For those people out there who run companies and that kind of thing, it is what you need to do to change the environment that you give people to work in. And then they will enjoy working. They will put more in, more, be more productive, be more enthusiastic, and all of those other positive energies which come from the source of life, which are to do with your connection with the inspiration coming from your upper house of sensitivity and consciousness. How else are you going to be able to overcome situations of hurdles that other people place in front of you if you do not create ambience and a collective consciousness? You cannot grow from one little thing. Yes, you can. You can grow from one little seed of an idea, the perfect balance of at-oneness within all beauty of all things. You can see it immediately if you would only just open your eyes to it. It isn't difficult.
Yes, so something would be even just simple things, isn't it, really? Colours, for a start. The colours that you work in and around.
Yes, or live in.
Or live in. So what would you say would be soothing Because we're talking about making ourselves less angry, less anxious, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, most certainly. I would not suggest for a workplace environment, for example, that they were womb-like colors, because that would probably send people to sleep and they wouldn't really want to do much work.
No, not a lot of motivation there.
No, quite so. But certainly calming colors, greens and that kind of thing. Earthy colors will generally bring about a good sense of wellness and well-being. And for that purpose, you see, you can always perhaps use more uplifting colors, like violets and that kind of thing. Certain forms of blue are most enhancing for work environments.
Yellow?
And, well, yellow is really very good for places which are resting places, places where people go to rejuvenate themselves. Because yellow is an invigorating color, so too is orange, and that kind of thing. It is something which will invigorate the senses and make you feel more positive and uplifted. So perhaps areas that you dine in and that kind of thing are very good if they are yellow. Or good sunny colors, see?
Yes.
Restful places would be greens and pastel shades.
Yes.
Something which would bring about a soothing contrast to your daily work life.
So based on your description of the impact of your environment, would you say the concept or practice of feng shui accurate?
Well, yes, of course, because it is actually really connecting you with the connective responses that you make to color and your surroundings. Mm-hmm. That is the point about it, really, that it is bringing you in touch with organization of your life so that you can then behave in a more abundant way. How can you possibly be abundant if you are estranged from your surroundings?
Yes. And of course, we've talked about children before, for cause and effect. Would you say that teaching cause and effect in schools, and, you know, actually talking about how the world works and that sort of thing, and doing it in that way, would be a good idea?
Well, yes, I would say so. In some respects, I would say that cause and effect is already taught, in that if children misbehave or they do certain things, then and they understand or know the rules by which people engage with schools, then perhaps it would be that certain situations come about that the child actually picks up on the understanding and what is expected of it.
Okay.
Yes.
Have we got a caller?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is John. Hi, Mick and Sylvia.
Oh,
hello, friend.
How are you doing?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Never better, yeah. Thank you. And your good self?
Very good, thank you. But I have questions about what you were saying about the last seconds of life, where all of a sudden somebody may achieve enlightenment.
Yes.
How would they know? What would be some of the things that they would see or feel and therefore know that they were achieving this?
Well, I would say it is realization. And that is to do with the whole concept of perhaps what someone in their physical life struggles through to deal with. And for many people, they do not come to the realization of why they have had a physical life, that is, becoming in touch with their spirit, until they actually experience it. And this usually is something which, if it evades the person throughout their whole life, they don't experience it, it is something that they eventually come to at the time of passing. Such a shame, really, that it should come only at that time. But you see, it is actually a physiological situation that happens, that most people, when they come to the last moments of their life, they actually reach a form of realization. Whether that realization then continues with them in a conscious way with their spirit once they have passed is another matter. They will still have to overcome, of course, all of the negative things that they created in their physical life. But I cannot say that that means then that it is only a temporary thing. It isn't. It is at least the start, the beginning of their journey of positivity. And it is a matter for them, for their free will, as to whether they wish to take on that aspect of life, of their energy. Has that answered you, friend?
Yes. Just one more question. Is there any symbol that these people see or feel that lets them know that they're enlightened? Is there a symbol?
That they're enlightened, friend?
Yes.
Symbols. In other words, do you see a flying saucepan or something like that? Or
yes, uh-huh.
Or perhaps a particular shape of tree or whatever. Well, I would say that enlightenment comes to the point of realization of the state of oneness that any being can realize. Perhaps that doesn't sound very much. Should it be grander because enlightenment is supposed to be this all-beautifying state of bliss? Enlightenment is really to do with realization, the understanding of one's own individuality and indivisible state. One person can visit enlightenment in a moment, in one single breath. Any one of you can have a moment of enlightenment. It may not necessarily have to end with your life. Enlightenment is possible now in your life. When do you know that you've reached it? When you become truly happy. That is when you understand and know of yourself and do not have a problem with what you are able to create for the benefit of others, because you do so with love, and only love exists there in your heart. You banish all other things, not because it is the right thing to do in order for you to gain enlightenment, but because you have grown to it. You have grown and moved through that stage of your development where you think in terms of being lesser than something else or being more than something else. Enlightenment comes to you without egotism or any form of value of self at all. Instead, it creates the pathway of understanding in purity that you are just as valued as God, and God is a part of you. So I would say, friend, there is not one specific sign of enlightenment other than the state of being in is, or is-ness, if you like. If you are in the state of is, you are at one with all things and are probably permanently happy, because there is nothing to be sad about, because you do not deny anything or belittle anything or curse anything or create ill will toward any other vibration.
Okay, all right, John?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, so we did have an email from Ursa as well.
Yes.
She says, many, it seems, would rather not look within themselves for the source of their discontent or problems, or even to look within for solutions to those dilemmas. How does this inhibit them from truly understanding the why or cause of where they are and what they're experiencing?
The problem, I suppose, is that human beings have such a great difficulty with understanding the link between their actual physical actions or conscious thoughts, or even subconscious thoughts and activity, with the very realization of what they are creating. If you have a way of exhibiting your energy and it becomes caustic to someone else, then clearly it is not as defined or as pure as you expect it to be, because someone else is reacting to it in a negative way. That doesn't mean to say that you have to change everything that you think because of the values of someone else who are laying their free will upon you in that effect. So you see, what I'm saying is that people have their own vision of what their energy should be in the purest way. And that in itself may not actually meet with someone else's expectation. Perhaps a Buddhist monk would have vied for the understanding of themselves being in their lowly state of begging for a living, or perhaps see this as an honorary profession to actually deliver them and their conscious state to one of giving of themselves because others give to them. This does not mean to say that by being a begging monk that they are necessarily going to reach to that state of enlightenment, because it may well be that others around them feel that they deserve nothing. Does that mean to say that other people putting their energy upon the begging monk mean to say that the begging monk did not succeed in the environment he or she wished to create? It is usually because of the fact that people think in the atmosphere of self that enlightenment can only come to me, not come to someone else, because I wish to give them love and energy. If you give someone else loving energy, perhaps, shall we say, in the environment of sitting in meditation for someone else, giving them that energy of your undivided attention and your love in purity so that they can succeed in bringing about something of their understanding of their physical and spirit nature, which is God-given and a part of their right, their birthright, that is something beautiful that you can give to someone else, that you can share that love that you have in a selfless way to them.
Okay. Well, we've only got a few minutes left.
Yes.
I just got two quick questions.
Yes.
You were saying before about how people can be left in the spirit world for years and years and years before they move on. Occasionally, that can happen. Sometimes.
Yes.
So is that because of the cause and effect? Because they're not actually doing, I mean, negative actions aside here, I mean, just ordinary people.
Yes.
Is that because of cause and effect? Because they're not actually doing anything to create anything else?
Yes, absolutely so. Many people become stuck in the way of what they have created and think then that they cannot do anything else. They, once again, acquiesce to this vision of there not being any possibility in the spirit world to create anything further, because where is the energy going to come from? They do not understand that it comes from within self. And that is the energy which gives birth to further idea and further creation. Otherwise, consciousness would not exist in the spirit world, and there would be no ether dynamic.
And this is why very often you say that, that people were helping other people in the spirit world, or they do now, help people in the spirit world who are having problems, who need to move on or whatever, who are stuck in some way. So there's many people helping.
Absolutely so. And that is the point, really. Everyone helps everyone else, because that is the way of the cycle of renewal, of gravitating to create something more than the individual has, any individual. It doesn't matter who it is. Because that would be favoritism, would be favoring one person over another. All beings have the chance of enlightenment. All beings have the chance of this gift of reality, if only they would but open their eyes to it, and their hearts to it, and their minds, and their consciousness.
Okay. Well, I do believe we've come to time, Gregory.
Very well.
Once again, it's been wonderful.
With love and light to all beings, we thank you for this time of service.
Thank you. Bless.
God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention that our website is spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us, our books and CDs. You can have an occasion reading, or actually you can also purchase our books from bookstores and from amazon.com, as well as the wonderful BBS Radio and Spirit's Work on Mondays and Thursdays. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.